One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey. Continued. Disc 6. Nobody'll say anything. McMurphy walks up and down in front of that bench, running his hand around in that thick hair. He walks all the way to the back of the line, then all the way to the front, to the X-ray machine. It hisses and spits at him. You, Billy! You must be committed, for Christ's sakes! Billy's got his back to us, his chin up on the black screen, standing on tiptoe. No, he says into the machinery. Then why? Why? You're just a young guy. You ought to be out running around in a convertible, bird dog and girls. All of this? He sweeps his hand around him again. Why do you stand for it? Billy doesn't say anything, and McMurphy turns from him to another couple of guys. Tell me why! You gripe, you bitch, for weeks on end about how you can't stand this place, can't stand the nurse or anything about her, and all the time you ain't committed. I can understand it with some of these old guys on the ward. They're nuts. But you're not exactly the everyday man on the street, but you're not nuts. They don't argue with him. He moves on to Seafelt. Seafelt, what about you? There's nothing wrong with you, but you have fits. Now, I had an uncle who threw conniptions twice as bad as yours and saw visions from the devil to boot, but he didn't lock himself in the nut house. You could get along outside if you had the guts. Sure. It's Billy turning from the screen, his face boiling tears. Sure, he screams again. If we had the guts, I could go outside today if I had the guts. My mother is a good friend of Miss Ratchet, and I could get an AMA signed this afternoon if I had the guts. He jerks his shirt up from the bench and tries to pull it on, but he's shaking too hard. Finally, he slings it from him and turns back to McMurphy. You think I want to stay in here? You think I wouldn't like a convertible and a girlfriend? But did you ever have people laughing at you? No, because you're so big and then tough. Well, I'm not big and tough. Neither is Harding. Neither is Fredrickson. Neither is Seafelt. Oh, you talk like we stayed here because we liked it. Oh, it's no use. He's crying and stuttering too hard to say anything else, and he wipes his eyes with the back of his hand so he can see. One of the scabs pulls off his hand, and the more he wipes, the more he smears blood over his face and in his eyes. Then he starts running blind, bouncing down the hall from side to side with his face a smear of blood, the black boy right after him. McMurphy turns round to the rest of the guys and opens his mouth to ask something else, and then closes it when he sees how they're looking at him. He stands there a minute with the row of eyes aimed at him like a row of rivets. Then he says, "Hell's bells," in a weak sort of way, and he puts his cap back on and pulls it down hard and goes back to his place on the bench. The two technicians come back from coffee and go back in that room across the hall. When the door whooshes open, you can smell the acid in the air like when they recharge a battery. McMurphy sits there looking at that door. I don't seem to be able to get it straight in my mind.